talk to you about seven wonders of the name of Jesus. Now, I've preached this before, and I'm going to preach it tonight, and I'm going to probably preach it again, because you can't ever exhaust the wonders of the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to stand with me, and if you can go ahead and go to the main slide, Sister Darnell, if you can do that. The seven wonders. Notice I didn't put the seven wonders, because there's more than seven wonders to the name of Jesus. I'm just going to do seven tonight. And now if we can go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, if you're there, say amen. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name. Somebody say a name. Which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11, everyone read out loud. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you tonight for your presence. Anoint and unfold your word. We'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We talk about the seven wonders of the world. In the slide I have before you, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, the Taj Mahal of India, the Great Pyramids of Egypt. But I'm here to tell you tonight there's something more grandeur, more awe-inspiring, more breathtaking than all of the wonders of the ancient world and current world times 10. And that is the wonder of the name of Jesus. A songwriter, Audrey Meyer, put it into these words. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. And then he went on to say, he's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Come on and give Him a hand of praise. Jesus, my Lord. I just want to focus in on seven wonders of His name tonight. And if you'll go to Isaiah chapter 9, it said, verse 6, it says, His name shall be called Wonderful. Isaiah 9 and 6. And I want us to consider the seven wonders of the name of Jesus. Point number one, there is the wonder of security. The wonder of security. You know, we're living in the day of terrorism. So much has changed since the infamous morning on September the 11th, 2001. And as a response of the global war on terror, everything changed. When you go to the extra precautions at the airport, you're to keep your eyes peeled for suspicious activity, because we're living on the edge since that fateful morning. But I have news to tell you tonight that in the midst of the coronavirus and in the midst of upheaval and turmoil, there is one source of real security, and it's not in the airports, it's not in the government, it is in the name of Jesus. The psalmist, the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 18 and 10 that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 28, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, thank God for security. I am in the Father's hand. Somebody say amen tonight. Jesus said, do not fear those which could kill the body. And that was it. There are people who can kill your body, But Jesus said, don't really be afraid of that. He said, you be afraid of the one that can kill your soul. And that's God Almighty. And so the truth of the matter is that when Stephen was being killed, in fact, they were killing him. Stephen, the first martyr, as they were killing him, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, as they stoned Stephen, he was calling upon God, saying, Lord, receive my spirit. He said, I see Jesus standing at the brother, that's security. The wonder of the name of Jesus is that even in death itself, I've got a friend. I've got a name that I can call on. I might not can call my doctor's name or my pastor's name, but I can call the name of Jesus. And what have I to dread? And what have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. The wonder of the name of Jesus is security. Somebody say amen tonight. I want to talk to you not only about the wonder of security, I want to talk to you too about the wonder of serenity. Look, go back to John chapter 14 and verse 27. Because everybody is looking for this. And I'm going to talk about this. This is just a springboard to those five. This is one of the five times. He said, peace I leave with you. John 14 and 27. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, there is security. I'm safe. And then there is, listen, you can be safe and still be troubled in your mind. Come on now. You could be on an airplane and it's very safe. But if you're like me, you're not very secure, serene. Come on now. You might be secure, but you're not very serene when they hit turbulence at 32,000 feet. That's why I'm going to walk to the next general conference. Amen. Walk to my car, I should say. Hallelujah. You can have security and not have serenity. But brother and sister, we not only need to have, we've got security, but you need to have peace. Peace is internal. Security is external. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart. And when you study that, brother Philip, and you Bible scholars, you will understand it in the Greek where it says that we are kept, or the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart. In the Greek, it really talks about a military garrison, that you are kept under lock and guard. God has you safe. He has you secure. And because you know that God has kept you secure, you might as well go on to sleep. You might as well go on and praise Him. You might as well quit putting bad stuff on Facebook. You might as well go on and rejoice in the Lord because of the wonder of the He is keeping you. So you might as well just take the attitude of gratitude and say and declare, I have peace because of the name of Jesus. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote several novels, but his father was a chief engineer who established lighthouses all up and down the coast of Scotland and England. Of course, the book Treasure Island, I'm sure you've read that in high school. Robert Louis Stevenson was just a boy, and his father took him on a voyage inspecting those lighthouses. Up and down the coast there, and a tremendous storm came upon the sea, and for over 24 hours they feared for their lives. And Robert Louis Stevenson's father made his way up to the deck. And there was only one man up there, and that was the pilot and the captain of the ship. The waves were so boisterous, and the wind so loud, the rain was so hard, that he had actually had to take a rope to strap to himself, so that he wouldn't be swept off, to go talk to the man upstairs, the captain, the pilot. When Robert Louis Stevenson's father finally made it to the deck, he took one look at the face of the captain, and without saying a word, he went back down to his son. And his little boy, the author, who would one day be the author, was waiting when his father walked in, and he was so afraid, and he said, Daddy, are we going to drown? Is the ship going down? Are we going to sink? Are we going to die? And his daddy picked up the little boy and hugged him and said, no, son, we're going to make it through this storm. His son said, Daddy, how do you know we're going to make it? He said, because I looked into the captain's face and he was smiling. Can you say amen tonight? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, He is the captain of our salvation. And through the raging seas and the hurricane gale force winds of this life, I've seen the captain's face. And brother and sister, he's smiling. Couldn't you feel him smiling here in this service tonight? That is the wonder of the name of Jesus. Thank God for security. Thank God for serenity, peace that passes all understanding. Can you say amen tonight? And then there's the third wonder, and that is the wonder of His authority. Authority. You see, there's power in the name of Jesus. You understand that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Even, you know, we skip over that because the next scripture He says, rejoice not that your devils are subject unto you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But let's go back and just pause. Every good word of God is good. It says here that, Lord, even the devils are subject to your name. You know, there's been a lot of talk about exorcism. I go into the Drudge Report. I heard the other day and read the other day of a priest that said a 90-pound woman, demon-possessed, threw twice her weight, several across the room. And I thought to myself, let me tell you something. If you get in with a demon-possessed 90-year-old woman that's got the strength to throw a 200-pound man across the room, somebody ain't using the authority of the name of Jesus. Brother, I'm going to stop that. You're not throwing me across the room. You're not going to mess up my hair. You're going to come out in the name of Jesus. Because of Ricky Nelms or Jerry Nelson or T.E. Long? No, because of the name of Jesus. You come out, devil. I have authority in the name. I can say Bush and nothing will happen. I can say Trump and nothing will happen. But I can say Jesus. And brother, all hell trembles because there's wonder in the name. Well, why don't you go ahead and praise Him tonight? Take authority over cancer. Take authority over disease. Take authority over that mountain. Speak to the mountain. And what, you know, talk to the mountain, speak to the mountain. Here's the word that the mountain will hear. Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I cast you into the sea. At His name, sicknesses are healed. At His name, mountains are moved. At His name, storms are stilled. At His name, demons tremble. Thank God for the wonder of security, the wonder of serenity, the wonder of authority. And then, number four, there's the wonder of permanency. Permanency. You know, I started out this message by talking to you about the seven wonders of the world. Can I tell you that two of those seven wonders are no longer wonderful? You know why? They're gone. Dust. Gone. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Gone. The Temple of Diana in Ephesus. Long gone. But look at Psalm 72 and verse 17. Psalm 72 and verse 17 says, His name shall endure. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Somebody say amen. The name of Jesus will long endure when all of the wonders of this world are but dust. I want to ask you a few questions, see if you've heard these names. Now, if you have, just raise your hand. You don't have to shout it out. But has anybody ever heard of the name of Hamilton Smith? Hamilton Smith. Anybody ever heard of it? Now, I'm not talking about the fellow over in Sims. I know you probably know him, okay? You don't even know him. Hamilton Smith was the inventor of the washing machine. You didn't know that, did you? Now, how many of you enjoy the washing machine? Okay, I never knew what life was like without a washing machine. But I don't want to know what life is like without a washing machine. These names may be more familiar. Peter Durand. Peter Durand. Anybody remember his name? You forgot his name, have you? Nobody knows his name. Peter Durand. Have you ladies ever used a can opener? Raise your hand. Or men, have you ever used a can opener? Guess who created it? Peter Durand. But you done forgot his name, hadn't you? Well, what about some of you men that are handy-dandy men, you may know the name of Willis H. Carrier. You may know that name. He invented, oh, hallelujah, the air conditioner. the air conditioner, Willis H. Carrier, or Edwin Rudd, or Rude. Somebody calls it Rude. Somebody calls it Rudd. R-U-D-D. Oh, listen to this. Edwin Rude. Does anybody remember his name? Does anybody know what he did? What'd he do? No. He didn't do the air conditioning. That was Carrier. You're close. He created the hot water heater. Did anybody not take a cold shower this morning unless you wanted to? You don't have to raise your hand. Some of you might not have took a shower. But you might have took a bath. I don't know. But I promise you, if you got hot water, you done forgot his name, hadn't you? You know what? We don't ever need to forget the name of the one who died. He didn't give us air conditioning. He didn't give us the can opener. He gave us eternal life. He died on a cross. And his name needs to be praised, and his name needs to be shared, and his name needs to be... I don't like to hear God's name in vain. I turn off the TV when I hear people use that precious name, because there is power in that name, and there's wonder in that name. There's healing in that name. Oh, listen, your situation, thank God, will not remain. Thank God your sickness will not remain. Thank God your problem will not remain. Oh, let me tell you, forever and ever, angels will be shouting it. Saints will be rejoicing in it. The church will be celebrating. His name will remain. His name is wonderful, and it is permanent forever. You'll forget Adolf Hitler. You'll forget Donald Trump. One day you'll forget Ricky Nelms, but you will not forget the name of Jesus. Somebody give him praise forever and ever. There's the wonder of security, the wonder of serenity, the wonder of authority, the wonder of permanency. Not going to fade away. Mount Rushmore will fade away, but not the face of Jesus and the name of Jesus. Then number five, there's the wonder of royalty. You see, this is where we get in trouble. Royalty. Somebody say royalty. You see, we call Jesus a good man, and he is a good man. We call him a great speaker. He was a great speaker. Never a man spake like that man. He was a moral leader, but he was more than a moral leader. He was the perfect moral leader. He was the gentle lamb. Yes, he was the Lamb of God, but he was also the lion. Amen? He is royalty. Matthew 2:6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. He is a king. Revelation 19:11 said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. What is it, church? King of kings and Lord of lords. The wonder of the royal splendor name of Jesus. Oh, Prince Harry decided to abdicate his royal title. You know what he said on the news the other day? I remember when he was born. I remember when his mama and daddy got married. I'm getting old. I'm telling you, people talking about the royal wedding. They're talking about William and Kate. I'm like, no, Charles and Diana. Nothing could beat that. Sad ending though, right? But Harry said, he's not going to be a part of the royal family. I guess it's because he married an American. I don't know. We have a bad influence on royalty, I guess. We don't like royalty. We don't like kings. We like presidents that we can kick around in every 3 or 4 years. But Harry said, here's what you call me. Just call me Harry. He said, forget the royal titles. Forget the royal name. But friend, let me tell you something. You'll never hear that from Jesus. He will forever be royal. He won't ever abdicate his throne for some trifle. He will forever be the ruler. He won't be voted out. He can't be impeached. He can't be shot down or assassinated. He is the King of Kings forever and forever. You might as well get used to, there's a new sheriff coming to town, and his name is Jesus. You won't be committing abortions. There won't be gay marriages in heaven. I promise you there'll be nothing that defiles or hurts in my holy mountain. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. It's not a matter of if you will, but when you will. His name is wonderful because it is the royal, high, holy name of our King. And his name is Jesus. Somebody say, that's my King. The Bible says, my King is a seven-way King. He's the King of the Jews. That's an ethnic king. He's the King of Israel. That's a national king. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords.
I said, that's my king. I wonder, do you know him? Come on. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. Do you know him? He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the ages. He's the superlative of everything good. He supplies strength for the weak. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? That's my king. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. I wonder if you know him. That's my king. Come on here. Well, his goodness is limitless. I can't do it like that black preacher, but I'm trying. S.M. Lockridge. I got the original tape from Moody's Founder Week, 1977, where he did this in his sermon. Well, his goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. I said, that's my king. Oh, the Pharisees could not stand him, but Herod could not kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king, and I wonder, do you know him tonight? He's always been, and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor, and he doesn't have a successor. There's nobody before him, and nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he is not going to resign. That's my king, and I wonder, do you know him? Why don't you praise the wonder of his royalty? Shout it, that's my king. Oh, thank God for the wonder of his security, the wonder of his serenity, the wonder of authority, the wonder of permanency, the wonder of royalty, and two more and I'll be done. The wonder of clemency. What does that mean? Forgiveness, clemency, pardon. Just the other day, President Trump just pardoned about 15, 20 people just to show him he could do it. Because people that needed to be pardoned, political people who were arrested for, you know, they could arrest anybody in here tonight. They go digging around, they'll find something. I don't care how you are, they'll find it. Okay, if they want to arrest you, they'll get you. But the president said, I got the final say on this. Acts 10 and 43 says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. Acts 4 and 12 said there's not salvation in any other. And you hear me? And you hear me really good. I know that everybody thinks that everybody's opinion has a right to your, you can have an opinion, but you better be careful your opinion doesn't have you. Because you might have an opinion, but your opinion better be right. And there ain't 50 different ways to God. There's not your way and my way and I think so way and the Buddhist way and the Catholic way and the Pentecostal way. There's only one way to God. I want you to know Westmoreland is on Tillman Road. I don't care how many roads are in Wilson County. If you're not on 3102 Tillman Road, you're not at Westmoreland. You're somewhere in fantasy land. You might have a picture of Westmoreland and you might say it's Westmoreland, but brother, there's only one way to God. There's neither salvation in any. You're not going to get forgiveness of your sins through the rosary. You're not going to get forgiveness of sins by turning over a good leaf and being a good little person and giving to the Shriners fish fry. That's a good thing, by the way, and I like fish and I get something for my offering. But I'm telling you, too many people are thinking there's every kind of way to be saved. There, you got to bow your knee and you've got to say, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. Well, I'm just as good as my neighbor. I'm just as good as those preachers on TV. No, you're not near as good as God himself. And he's the ultimate judge. And you've got a high standard if you're going to be as good to get to heaven in God's eyes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But somebody told me I was lost in sin and nothing I could do could save me. But I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and I asked him to forgive me. And I discovered the wonder of his name because he forgave me of my sins. And he has forgiven me. Somebody give him praise. And how I wonder that is. When you say the name Bill Gates, you think of either money or computers. When you say the name Henry Ford, you think of cars. When you think of the name of Osama bin Laden, you think of 9/11. When you think of Steve Jobs, you think of the iPhone. But when you think of the name of Jesus, you think of the Savior. 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 There was a man going through toll booth, and I'm about done here. So, Brother Clark, if you want to come and let's pretend we're finishing, okay? There was a man. I got one more wonder, and this is a goodie. I say the best for last. All you preachers out there, save your best to the last. Just like the fireworks on the 4th of July. Start out small, but end like this. Oh, we're going to end like that. I feel it coming. Woo, we shouted at the music. We're about to shout at the word now. Glory. Hallelujah, somebody. I said glory. You know what we're in? You know what you're in tonight? You're in a Pentecostal church. We got away from Pentecost. And I'm starting to ramble a little bit, and I need to get back to this. But we got away from Pentecost. We got to keep it quiet. We don't want to offend people. People don't understand it. Yeah, that's exactly what I don't want them to understand it. I want them to feel it and say, what meaneth this? And when they ask, what in the world is all this about? We'll say, a man by the name of Jesus died for your sins, and he has power. And he can forgive you. And a man, Darnell and I went on our 25th wedding anniversary last year to Washington, D.C. We started out at Danville, Virginia, at Dan Woods Church, the Tree of Life Church. And we needed a word from the Lord. And we got a word from the Lord. Exactly. God spoke as soon as he read the scripture. I had already marked the passage in my Bible that the preacher read that morning. And I had marked in that when I read it like several months before I read it. And I said, that's for me and Darnell. And I dated it. And I put down for Ricky and Darnell. And I circled it, highlight, whatever I did to highlight it. And on our August the 4th, the exact day that we got married, 25 years to the day, I said, Lord, where do we go to church? We could have gone here. We could have gone there. We could have gone there. And we wound up at Dan Woods Church. And he opened his Bible. And he said, turn to Psalm such and such, such and such. And I didn't know where it was going. And when I opened it and he read it, it was the exact scripture where I had marked for Ricky and Darnell. Don't you love the wonder of the name of Jesus? Amen. But we drove up to Washington, D.C. And to my other living shock, there's toll booths up there. I was like, what is that? What have I got to slow down for? I was going to try to get around it, but I couldn't. And this guy went through a toll booth somewhere up north, and he was behind somebody, and the person had a white car, a white Cadillac, and they waited and waited. He was in a hurry, and the white Cadillac pulled on, and the person in the booth was just doing this to him, just doing this. All he saw was an arm. And he's like, what in the world? And the gate was staying up, and he stopped, and the person was doing this. And he's like, what is this? And he rolled down the window, and the person in the toll booth, I told you to go on through. What do you mean? He said, mister, do you see that white Cadillac up there? That guy said he knew you, and he's done paid your toll. Now, would you get on through the gate? Woo, when I stand before heaven's gate, there's going to be a nail-scarred hand. Oh, you know how I'm going to get through the gate? It's because somebody has done paid my toll. The wonder of clemency. I am free from the guilt of yesterday. I am free from fear of the future. I thank God that I'm free and he has saved me and I am forgiven. And then finally tonight, the wonder. Oh, listen to me. It's wonderful for security, wonderful for serenity, wonderful that I can speak in authority, wonderful that his name is permanency, and oh, we acknowledge his royalty, and thank God for his clemency. But let me tell you the greatest wonder of all. Have you got it up there yet? Point seven. You got it? I need that thumbs up. Is the wonder of knowing him personally. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true.
I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me. I'm botching this song. Like Jesus, there's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. You know what? Oh, how much he cares for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. How much he cared for me.
I know him personally. Now, I pastored over the years, 20 years, some blind people. I had some in the church in Kinston where I pastored for 5 years, West Road Pentecostal Holiness Church. I had two young ladies that were blind, completely blind, blind from birth. And I could try to describe to them the Statue of Liberty. Or maybe a rainbow. But there's just some things you got to discover for yourself. I could tell you the Statue of Liberty is this beautiful woman that's standing on the New York Harbor with the crown on her head, Lady Liberty. But until you see it, by the way, has anybody actually seen the Statue of Liberty in person? How many of you have only seen pictures of it? Raise your hand if you've only seen pictures of it. I tell you, y'all are some country folks here, I'm telling you. Y'all need to get out of Sims and Bailey. No, I love Sims. I live right there at Sims. But that's because I pick on it. But I want to close with this in just a moment. They're going to start playing. But Ola Bowl and John Erickson were great friends, and they were both reared in the Scandinavian countries, and they got to know each other as children. And John Erickson and Ola Bowl became famous, each one for different reasons. Ola became a world-renowned violinist, and he performed in major capitals throughout Europe. He did 5 tours through the United States. He was renowned for his innovative method of playing the violin. He brought into vogue different chords and different usages. He was an excellent musician. And his friend, John Erickson, was an inventor, scientist inventor. He was the one that invented the screw propeller that replaced the paddle wheel on boats way back then. That was a great invention then. Of course, now we have the engine. He helped design the Civil War monitor that was a major ship in the Civil War. And he also invented what we now know as torpedoes, where boats can send out torpedoes. He invented that. So he was a brilliant mind. And so Ola Bowl and John Erickson were renowned in their lifetime. But eventually, settling into the United States, once they happened to be in the same town, and Ola was given a concert. And he called his friend John, who had a factory there, and said, John, come to the concert tonight. I'll give you free tickets. You're my friend. Come. We were raised in Europe together. We're now in America, and I'm doing a concert. You own this large factory. And you know what John said? John said, I don't waste my time on music. He said, I've got too much to do. Just forget me. You know I wouldn't come to that. That's just not me. And Ola said, look, John, if you don't come, I'm going to bring my violin to your office and play right there for you personally. And John said, you can bring it down here and I'll take it from you and break it over my knee. And no, they were picking on each other. He said, you just keep that music away. I'm a practical man and I'm involved in things that count, not music. And so Ola conducted his concert that night and John didn't go and Ola Bowl was very tactful. And so he actually did show up at his office and met him there. And John came out and embraced one another and said, John, they were just friends and they embraced one another. And so Ola said, John, I've got a problem. And he said, I want you to advise me as an engineer. What must I do for this to happen or that to happen? And so look at my violin, and just, I've been having some problems with it. And so John took the violin and he did a little tweaking here and a little tweaking there, and he analyzed it with his scientific mind. And he said, well, if you did this, you know, maybe it would sound a little better and this, that, and the other. And the whole time Ola's like setting him up, you know. And so he's making John think he's putting something into that violin. And so, and Ola said, are you finished? Do you think that's going to do it? And he said, let's try it out. Let me see if this thing really works, because I think I got it down right. You know, him being an engineer. And so Ola sat down and began to play that violin as only a master could play it. And John heard those chords and heard those notes and that music, and he played, and Ola stopped and looked, and there was John. His eyes were glassy and tears were running down his cheek. He was so moved by the music that he had said he didn't have time for. He said, oh, Ola. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I knew I was missing something in my life, but I didn't know what it was. He said, it was music. Ola, keep on playing. Don't stop playing. This is what I've been missing all of my years. And as I close this message tonight, and as you think about your life tonight, is there something missing? Something not quite there? Something that you thought you might have had? But I'm here to tell you, when you come to know Jesus personally, your eyes will well up with tears. And you'll say, oh, what I've been missing the whole time for my life was the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. And the only way to know that name is to know it personally. Would you stand with me tonight? And Father, we give you praise for the sweet music of our soul. We give you praise for the wonder of the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're missing it. If you don't know Jesus tonight, you're missing it. Hear me tonight, and we'll give an altar call, and we'll be closed in just a moment. We've had a long service, but praise God for His presence. But if you don't know the Lord, you're missing something. And I urge you with all that's in my heart, come to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you. Know the wonder of clemency. Don't be so proud and say, I'm a good person. No, you need clemency. You need forgiveness. Come to Jesus tonight. Brother Clark, if you and the praise team would sing. Can you lift your hands as we sing it?
I'm learning.
Come on down. Let's pray tonight. Let's close in prayer.
Learning to lean on Jesus.
The name of Jesus. Seven wonders.
More power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean
on the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, sing it again.
Learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning.
The wonder of peace, my sister. Let the peace of God keep you. And your husband through the trials and the tests. I speak the name of authority. Sickness will be healed. And restoration, restoration, restoration. Oh, the name of Jesus has authority. Authority. My brother, you've got a burden for your family to be saved. And in the name of Jesus, every child, I pray, God, just like you saved Michael.